morning.
I told Bruce and his wife and Bob and whoever was in my hearing space over here that I had a short sermon today and Paula could play while I worked the room. So, you know, that's kind of what we did today. We're glad that you're here. We welcome you to this service. We pray that you've had a good week. I'm glad no one floated away yet. I know when Floyd hit Greenville, we thought everything was fine until a few days later, until the Tar River decided to join with every other river this side of the mountains and decided to take out half of Pitt County. But hopefully that's not going to happen. We'll pray that that's the case. But we're glad you're here. Those who are watching on social media and on the radio, listening on the radio, we welcome you as well. If you're guests today, we're glad that you're here. I know of at least two guests that are here. They're members of my fan club, the only two members. Larry and LaRue King are here from Farmville, and we're glad that they could be here today. And there's also a couple here, over here on my left, that I don't know, they just showed up. And he's dressed rather impeccably, I must say. It's good to have Mark and Joanne here this morning. Glad you guys could come. And I asked him, I said, y'all getting settled? He said, well, we've got all the boxes pretty much unpacked. I said, well, you're doing great. He said, tomorrow we hang pictures. I said, nah. One thing that can cause me, I know you can't lose your faith, your Christianity, but you can lose your religion, and hanging pictures for me is one of them. But anyway, we're glad you guys are here too. All right. I think I've handled the welcome. Tommy has a word for us before we proceed.
Try hanging wallpaper with your wife.
I've done it.
And we stayed together afterwards, believe it or not.
Yeah, so we us too.
As all of y'all know, last year about this time, we were in a sort of a bad spot. Attendance wasn't very good. We lost our pastor, and we were trying to go forward. And Sarah Frances Hill had an epiphany one night, and she said, I know just the guy. So she ran to Rachel, and she said, I know a guy you ought to call. And it wasn't a few weeks later, Dr. Bailey became our interim minister. He told us right from the get-go, guys, I don't mince words, I don't pull punches, I call a spade a spade. And so, be ready. But all of us loved his sermons. All of us took to him. I mean, I went home one Sunday kind of limping. I don't remember the exact context that it was mentioned in it, but he mentioned that sometimes the deacon board could be a pain in a pastor's side. But when I got home and thought, he wasn't talking about me, I was fine. So, but as he progressed, attendance started picking up a little bit. Marietta said, I think it's time we restart Big Wednesdays. And we restarted Big Wednesdays. Rachel, who happens to be visiting today, said, I think we ought to have a Bible study on Wednesdays. And she started a Bible study. Attendance started coming up. We started talking about putting small blessings on top of small blessings on top of small blessings. And things started looking up. We started the ministry fair again. Things started looking up a little bit. Slowly but surely, attendance started picking back up. Through the whole time, Dr. Bailey and his wife were here every Sunday. Sermons were well received. And if someone ended up at ECU Medical in Greenville and they wanted to visit her, Dr. Bailey went to see them. If they ended up at ECU Medical in Ahoskie, he'd go see them. It was the rule rather than the exception that him and his wife had contacted two or three people here in town to go see on Sundays after church to the shut-ins, including having communion at home. Now, all of you know Ed and Verley Rainey. They think that Dr. Bailey's like way up here because he has gone to see them, and Ed thinks you're just
no, he likes my wife.
Oh, well. He said he liked you.
He talks to her. I'm talking to Verley.
He's, oh, okay.
I think he made a comment along the lines of that she was prettier than me or something at one point.
Oh, okay. Well, that's true.
Yeah, I know.
But it's just that he came at the time we needed him to come. He has been a true blessing to our church. And I hope that you understand what a blessing you have been.
Thank you.
Today is his last official sermon. And I say official because if Dr. Gaskins, who happens to be here today, and his wife, Joanne, welcome, if they happen to have a Sunday, they aren't going to be here. Guess who's first on my Rolodex? And he's also, both him and his wife are going to come back for our reunion in November, so you'll get to see him then. But I hope everybody takes the chance today to say thank you to him. Now, his wife doesn't want you to say goodbye because she hates goodbyes. She said, I don't want this to be a goodbye. So just say thank you for everything that they've done for our church the last year. Like I say, they've been a true blessing, and they came at just the right time. They were just the right people and helped us get back on our feet. So thank you for everything you've done, and I certainly appreciate it.
Thank you. What you don't realize is it goes both ways. I came into this not real sure about what I was going to do, but you know, when God puts you where God wants you, you don't have to worry about that stuff, right? He just does it, and so it's been great. But I'm not going to get into that right now. We've got worship to do. That's why we're here. And we want to begin and move forward. And I'll invite you to join us as we stand and sing our choral call to worship, hymn 574. The text is written in your order of service. To God be the glory. Let us stand. To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory for the things we has done. With his blood he has saved me, with his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Join me now as we share together our spoken call to worship. Come, sons and daughters, mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers and aunts, God calls us together as parts of one body for worship and service and praise.
Let us worship God together.
Let us pray. Lord God, maker of heaven and earth, we gather here today in your holy name. We come as living sacrifices to offer you our worship and thanksgiving, our praise, as well as our prayers. Lord, be among us as you have promised. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, transform our hearts and minds so that we may recognize your presence, that we may hear your voice and know your will, and most importantly, walk in your way. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Join me now in our hymn of praise, hymn number 563. In unity we lift our song.
We lift our song. strong, what cause for celebration? For those whose faithfulness has kept us through distress, who shared with us our plight, who held us in the night, the blessed congregation. For stories told and told again to every generation, to give us strength in times of pain, and who gave us consolation. Our spirits to revive, to keep our dreams alive, we are far from home, and evil seasons come. How firm is our foundation? Sacred scriptures handed down, a blessed trust and treasure, which gives us hope when hope is gone, and make us weep with pleasure. And when our eyes grow blind, and death is close behind, we shall recite them still. Those words our hearts can fill with hope beyond all measure. For our way, our bread, our rest, of all these gifts the giver. Our strength, our guide, our nurturing breast, whose hand will yet deliver. Who keeps us till the day, when night shall pass away, when hate and fear are gone, and all our work is done, and we shall sing forever.
Thank you.
Winslow says no, Mary Welch says yes. Now, the question is can you take a gift like playing softball and use it to help others? Yes, how can you do that? You can show them how to play. Can you make new friends on the softball field? So we can take any kind of gift we're given, whether it's playing softball, preaching, teaching, to tell other people about God, right? And so Romans tells us to use our gifts, whatever our gifts are, to glorify God. So we want to remember that, whether we're on the softball field, or at school, or at work, or at church, right? So let's say a prayer. Dear God, thank you for the gifts you give us. Let us use them to glorify you. In your Son's name, amen.
that's me or the organ. It's still on. It's the first time that's happened. Okay. We're going to read scripture now. So if the devil's mad, he's going to get madder. All right. Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from, the book of Proverbs. I'll be reading from chapter 16, reading verse 3. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, let me share some requests. Let's remember Charlie Acock, who is at Duke Hospital. Let's continue to remember Ben Cooper and a friend of Kathy Britt, Sarah and Terry Owens, who is sick. I know we all have others that we need to pray for. Genevieve Broadhead is at home, but is still dealing with some health issues. I want to remember her. Let's remember those who are displaced or struggling as a result of the storm, not only here but all up and down the coast. So remember those in our community that are dealing with grief and loss. We're on the threshold of a time of year when that really gets difficult, and we want to remember each of those. Some of you are here, and let's keep these folks in mind, and especially as the time draws near, when it's a good time to just give a quick phone call or drop a note of encouragement. So let's take a moment of silent prayer, and then I will lead us shortly. Let us pray together. God, we recognize again today that we live and move and have our being because of you. We thank you for the blessings that you provide for us and to us. And we ask your forgiveness where we take advantage of that and we neglect to give you thanks. Somehow think that we're deserving of that when, in fact, we are not, except through the blood of your Son. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here today, to worship together, to share laughter and joy and praise, to hear your word, and to sing those praises. Father, we do pray for those whose names I called a moment ago, who are at home and in the hospital, who are dealing with various types of physical issues. Father, we pray for those in our community who are grieving. We pray for those in the eastern part of this country who are dealing with the aftermath of this recent storm. Father, we just pray that each will sense your presence just now. Father, we pray for those who join us each week on social media and radio, and we ask that you be with them. Supply any needs that they have that's according to your will for their lives. Father, we pray for Mark and Joanne as they are on the threshold of a new chapter in the life, in their life, as well as the life of this congregation. And we pray your blessings on all as they begin this journey. Father, most of all, we give you thanks that Edwin and I have had an opportunity to be a part of that over these past months. We thank you for the privilege of being able to be here. We thank you for safety and travel each week. We thank you for friendships that have been made. And Father, we thank you for the encouragement that we have been given by being able to be here. So God, we pray now that as we continue to move in this time of worship, that you will bless each of us, that you will supply to us what we need to hear, so that when we leave this place this morning, we will be different than when we entered. And for all of that, we'll give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Our hymn of thanksgiving is hymn number 48, Great is Thy Faithfulness. I'll invite you to stand again as we sing.
Thank you.
Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin, and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Hear now this contemporary paraphrase of 1 Corinthians 13 as we prepare to receive our offering this morning. God of love, if we speak in the tongues of donors and investors but do not have love, we are noisy gongs or clanging cymbals. And if we have investing powers and understand all mysteries of interest rates and have all faith as to remove taxes, but do not have love, we are nothing. Love never ends. As your love for us never ends, may our love for you never end, and may we show it in all that we do and say. And now, friends in Christ, let us share now these gifts with our love and obedience as we ask God to multiply them through His love for all people. You may be seated. Thank you.
It's God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let us pray. Faithful God, we greatly acknowledge that You are the giver of all things. You call us to share these gifts so that we may experience the joy and humility of giving to others. We pray that this very act of offering our gifts to You will enable us to be obedient disciples of Your work. And it's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. New Testament lesson comes from two different places. First, I'll be reading from Acts chapter 2, verse 14, and then over in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. First in Acts. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. And then over in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. The word of the Lord. Praise His holy name. A few weeks ago, my phone rang, and there was a voice I recognized on the other end of the phone. It was a young lady from church in Farmville who is always happy. She called and said, could you sing your last Sunday in Farmville? Because we're going to be there with Sarah. I said, well, yeah. Well, I'd like for you to sing. And she called the title of the song. And I thought, I don't think I've ever sung that. And I listened to it. I've heard it. Now, LaRue, I'm going to do my best with this. It's not going to sound like what you've heard before, because I'm not a member of the Bill Gaither vocal band. Okay? But anyway, I had planned to sing anyway, so it's kind of worked out. So here we go.
I dreamed of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gates, I cried, holy, the angels all met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion. Oh, the sights I saw. Then I said, I want to see Jesus, the one who died for all. Then I bowed on my knees and cried, holy, I cried, holy, Thou art holy. I clapped my hands and sang, glory, to the Son of God. Glory to the Son of God. Then as I entered the gates of that city, my loved ones all knew me well. They took me down the streets of heaven. Oh, the scenes too many to tell. I saw Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, talked with Mark and Timothy. Oh, but I said, I want to see Jesus, 'cause he's the one who died for me. I bowed on my knees and cried, holy, you are holy. My God is holy. I clapped my hands and sang glory. There was glory. Oh, glory. I clapped my hands and sang glory. Glory to the Son of God.
I get phone calls all the time. Got one from LaRue. About 3 months ago, I guess, got one from a friend of mine that I hadn't seen in a long time. He was on the staff at First Baptist Church in Aberdeen, North Carolina. And if you know anything about that part of the world, you know Aberdeen is a suburb of Pinehurst. So I was so glad that he was there. And yes, he and I and his pastor played golf a time or two while he was there, but not at Pinehurst. He asked for my contact information. Well, I thought, you already got it. But he wanted some other information. And he wanted to know if he could pass it on to somebody. And he told me who it was, and it was Mark. And it wasn't long till Mark and I chatted a bit, and the rest is history. And I'm excited that you all are going to be together. I think you're going to enjoy each other. And I pray God's blessings on you as you proceed. So, having said that, I want to share some things with you during this final time together. A few words that help you move into this new chapter. Of the Murfreesboro Baptist Church, Murfreesboro, North Carolina, 1850 to right now. 175 years. It's a long time. We found out, my dad was at First Baptist Church, Morristown, Tennessee, when I was in the first, second, and third grade, and they're coming up on their 225th. That's a real long time. Well, the Lane Bass MBC chapter is written and complete. It's in the books. The Rick Bailey MBC, quote, interim footnote is nearing conclusion. And the next chapter, the Dr. Mark Gaskins MBC chapter, has yet to written and is known only to God. But here's what I see. I see a future that looks bright. I see a future that looks bright. I believe you're on the upswing. Tommy kind of hit that some. And the only person, if you will, we need to thank for that is God. No one person does any of that. It's all God's business. We're here, as I've told you several times, we're here because He has things for us to do. And part of that is to reach out of these walls, to get out of the fort, you know, to get out of the fortress and get into the community and do what He's called us to do. As Tommy's indicated, attendance has increased. I sense you're ready for a new chapter with faith and confidence to begin this work together. It's a perfect time for transition, to put out what's old, to bring in what's new. The past has been a learning experience. It is collectively and corporately for a church, just as it is for us as individuals. And that past is mixed with hope, sometimes frustration, sometimes uncertainty. But we can all move forward from that with the hope and knowledge that God is in the future. He's already there. He knows what it's going to look like. We don't. We've just got to follow Him. So let's go back and set the stage a little bit with what happened at Acts. The setting is Pentecost. You know, Jesus has told the disciples, you stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit makes His appearance on and in you. That has happened. So Peter's out. A lot of people there from all different parts of the world, the known world, Jews. They're all there for Pentecost. So the disciples, these regular guys, regular people like you and me, all of a sudden start speaking in the languages of the cultures where all these other people are from. And of course, they're wondering what's going on. And, you know, they're not any different than we are. You know, their first response was, are these guys drunk? Paul assures them that's not the case because it's only 9 o'clock in the morning, he said. But Peter stands up assuring the people, again, that they are not inebriated, but calls for their attention, all of those within the hearing, and he says this as a prelude to his sermon. Let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Listen to what I say. And 3,000 of those people plus heard and responded and were converted through that one sermon. A miracle of unbelievable proportions occurred that day. And it always occurs when the preacher and the hearers connect. When the preacher and the hearers connect. And we find ourselves here today. A new preacher, a new pastor, a new minister. And to Mark, an unknown people, a congregation, are about to be connected together. And the outcome will be miraculous. You know how I know that? I know it'll be miraculous, but there is a but. The but is this. If the people and the pastor are under the leadership of God and work together, then it will be miraculous. Now let me make an observation. And as Peter said, listen to what I say. There are two sides to this pulpit. The side I'm on, I take seriously. Even though I'm, you know, I kind of laid back a bit, that still doesn't mean this is not serious business. I do what I do to keep your attention sometimes. But it's serious. Mark takes this side seriously as well. Now, he and I have not talked about this, but I know that that's true. There's this side of the pulpit. This is your side. You must take this side seriously. Just as we take this side seriously, you must take your side of the pulpit seriously. For if a sermon is preached to an empty room, has in fact the gospel been proclaimed? It's kind of like the old saying, if a tree falls in the woods and nobody's there, does it make a noise? If the gospel is proclaimed to an empty room, has it truly been proclaimed? If a sermon is preached in a room full of people who are not listening, has the gospel been proclaimed? You have to take your side seriously. A bright future depends on how both Mark and you see your side of the pulpit. Now, stay with me a few more minutes. I want to review a few points that we've shared together over the past few weeks. All right? Here we go. And no, they're not 3 points in a poem. Okay, so forget that. First point. Be the church by being who God has created you to be. Use your gifts. Use your gifts. I don't know what they are. Try some and find out. I just read some in Romans. Paul lists some in 1 Corinthians 12. Use your gifts, whatever they are, whether it's playing softball or whatever. Mark can't do it all. I told you several weeks ago. You call a new pastor, he doesn't bring a briefcase full of magic dust to sprinkle on everything, and all of a sudden, poof, you've got a house full of people and you've got overflow in the fellowship hall and all that kind of stuff. Doesn't happen like that. Again, Romans 12. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. What that means is Wayne's gift is different than Paula's. Because if I ask Wayne, could you have played that offertory? No. But Paula, could you do what Wayne does? No. We all have different gifts. God has chosen to do that. Now Paul lists some: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, teaching, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, and the compassionate in cheerfulness. Use your gifts. Use your gifts. Don't sit back and go, whew, the interim's over, we got a preacher, now I can relax. No, you've been relaxing while I've been here. It's time to go to work. See? Second, take the risk of faith and let your new pastor lead this church with the help of God and the Holy Spirit. Let him lead out of his dreams, as well as your dreams. You're coming together as you walk with God together. And if you do that, there'll be two outcomes. First, one of the outcomes will be success, however you gauge that. Now, remember, success doesn't necessarily mean more people in the pews. Okay? As I may have told you, when I went to Farmville, they wanted to grow. Oh, we want to grow. Every church wants to grow. I said, well, what do you mean grow? Well, we want more people here and more people there. I said, well, let me define how I sense growth. I sense growth about all of us who are already here learning to be better disciples, growing spiritually, not necessarily numerically. If we all grow spiritually as we should, we'll grow numerically. Why? Because we're out here doing what God has called us to do, and people are coming wanting to know what is going on at Murfreesboro Baptist Church. This is all reruns for you, I hope. One outcome is success. Time to celebrate, we give thanks. But obviously, the other outcome could be disappointment. Could be disappointment. But even at that, we should be thankful for the chance of even being able to give it a shot, to give it a try. And if we fail, we fail. We learn from our failures. We don't beat ourselves up. We learn from them and don't make the mistakes again. Then go out using maybe a different approach, coming at a problem or a situation or a ministry from a different angle. But we don't give up. And remember, don't succumb to peer pressure from dead people. Don't succumb to peer pressure from dead people. Don't hold on to some program or ministry that isn't working just because it's always been there. If it's not working, have a funeral. Bury it. Come up with something different that's more current, that's going to reach people. Now, granted, some traditions are good, but some can become a hindrance to growth and change is needed. Don't be afraid of that. Thirdly, let Mark be Mark. Let him be Mark. All of us who've been called into vocational ministry were human beings first. And the bad news is we didn't trade in our humanity for a robe and a stole. We're still humans, and we still mess up, and we still make mistakes, and we still do you know, there's a little thing I send to people who have a birthday. It says, don't worry about getting older. You're still going to do dumb stuff, only slower. That's it. That's what we do. That's who we are, which is, you know, we have our faults just like everybody else. But let Mark be Mark. Next, realize that this is God's church. This is God's church. What do we say? Well, my church does this and my church does that. But it's not your church. It's God's church. Preachers do the same thing. You go to a meeting. Well, my church is doing this and that and the other. Well, it's not Mark's church. It's not my church. It's God's church. We're signed here for a while. It's God's church. There's no place for personal control. It's all about God and what He wants us to be as Murfreesboro Baptist Church. And it's not just about doing church like we are here. It's about being the church out there. That's why we come here to start with, is to get energized and encouraged to be church when we walk down those steps or down the back. Next, be excited about who is here. Be excited about who is here. What do? We get disappointed over who should be here or who is not here. So-and-so ought to be at church. Well, a lot of things ought to be that aren't. And they always won't be, even though we think they ought to be. Don't get hung up on who isn't here. Celebrate who is here. Because we dwell more on absence than we do celebrating presence. People that are here. We celebrate because we're here. Take some time to talk to one another. Don't just walk to your pew. Now, I'm going to tell you this parenthetically real quick. Y'all need to shift around your seating now that you've got a new preacher. Because I've told you before, I've only been here a year, and I know when you're not here because you sit in the same place all the time. But celebrate who's here. Invite people who aren't here. Now here, listen to this, because I'm going to say it twice. Invite people who are not here to be here because of who is here. Who is here? All of you and the Lord. Invite people who are not here to be here because of who is here. You see, as I said just a few weeks ago, the reason this church exists is for the people actually who are not here. They need us. And more pointedly, they need Jesus. And to see Him in each of us. In the grocery store, in the hardware, in the restaurant, wherever we find ourselves. Lastly, and I know I don't have to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Love Mark and Joanne and let them love you. Let them love you. You don't know them that well. But here's a shocker. They don't know you that well either. That's part of what happens next. Remember I told you, introduce yourself several times. Well, if he was the preacher, he should remember my name. That's not, what did I just say a minute ago? It's not about control, it's letting God be God. You have to do that. You have to do that. There's two of them and there's a whole truckload of you all. And you don't have a church directory, even though they're putting something together, you know, that's going to help you, I think, with that a little bit. This is good. It was a great idea. I'm glad you're doing that. If you treat them as you have treated Edwin and I, if you love them like you've loved us, you're going to have a great time and a wonderful ministry together. The future's bright, yet the best is yet to come, and I firmly believe that. I look forward to coming back for the celebration to see what all's taking place. And it's going to be good. Well, finally, in the words of Paul to the church of Philippi in Philippians 1:3, with a bit of editorial license, I will say, we will pray, say, and proclaim that we thank our God every time we remember you. Amen. Let us pray. Father, it's been a great time. It's been a time of learning for us. And I trust it's been an opportunity to share with the good people of this congregation words from you to help them on their journey. Father, we pray for Mark and Joanne as they begin their ministry here. We ask your blessings on them. Not only as they begin their ministry here, but as they settle into this community. I pray for opportunities for them to be engaged in different components in the community. Not only with the university, but in other areas. Father, I pray for the folks here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church that you will give them what they need to be who you've called them to be as Mark begins his leadership among them. And Father, we're going to give you thanks for all. Now, Lord, during this time as we close this service, I pray that you will bless these moments, guide and direct in all that we do. We'll give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I have made a change in our closing song. We're going to sing Take My Life, Lead Me, Lord, hymn 494. And then after that, we're going to do something else that I'll share with you in a minute. But let's stand together, 494, Take My Life, Lead Me, Lord. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Take my life, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Make my life useful. Exciting time here at the church. Okay, real good to have you. Good to have you.
Miss Owen. She broke that wrist.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Okay, well, it's so good to have you. And let me make sure I've got this all right. Let's see. Snowland's coming on professional faith. And I don't have my glasses on. Miss Scott?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. You both are coming on professional faith and for baptism. And then John,
yes, sir.
Tracy, Gabriel, and Aaron, you all are coming on transfer of letter, right? Okay. All right. Well, good. I'll introduce you at the end of this song, okay? And so y'all just have a seat right here if you like to. Thank you. Will you be seated for just a moment, please? We have coming today a family that I hope you have had the opportunity to meet. They've been here several Sundays, and most importantly, they were here for Big Wednesday, I think. Weren't y'all here for Big Wednesday? Yeah, yeah. And they were here last Sunday for the lunch, and Sarah's excited that they're here. They've been here, and she's been working with the kids some, and they've come today to unite with the Murfreesboro Baptist Church, and we're just excited that you all have made that decision. So, I want to present to you John and Tracy Vick. Mom and Dad are here. And Gabriel. Gabriel's squeezed in down here at the corner. Aaron is right here. They're coming on transfer of letter from the Victory Baptist Church, and I think that's in Roanoke Rapids, yeah. And so they're coming on transfer of their membership. And we have daughter, Snowlin. Isn't that a neat name? S-N-O-W-L-Y-N, right? Snowlin Higgins, who's coming on profession of faith as a candidate for baptism. And she's hurt her hand, and did you get mad at the wall or something? Or oh, okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad you didn't do that. Oh, got mad at the trampoline. She and a trampoline win. You know what I found out? Trampolines always win. They always win. Well, I hope you're doing okay. And then grandmother, Sandra Scott, who's coming on profession of faith and is a candidate for baptism. And we're really excited for your decision. It's the best decision you'll ever make. And I'm just glad you all are going to be here. I told them when they came forward this morning, I said, man, I'm excited y'all are going to be here. You all can start new just like Mark does. So it'll be great. We also have today somebody who none of you know, who has asked to unite with the congregation. Susie Brown. Susie is coming on statement of faith of her acceptance of Christ, and has come for membership as well. And Susie, we're glad that you're going to be part of this family. She is a good Baptist lady from the Presbyterian tradition. Some of the best Baptists come from the Methodist and Presbyterian church. So we're glad to have all of these come and join us. And I hope after the service, you'll speak to Susie and the Vicks down here. You'll take a moment and welcome them in Murfreesboro Baptist Church as they officially become members. I guess I got to say this. All in favor of receiving these into membership, say amen.
Amen.
And that's it. Like I said last week, if you say no men, you just you can go join the French meeting over in Woodland or wherever that is. But anyway, we welcome you. Again, please come and share with these folks after the service. Okay, what I want to do on this final Sunday is I want us to stand and I want us to sing a great hymn. We grew up singing it. You remember, you know the line at the end of communion where the preacher always says, and they sang a hymn and went out. What was the hymn that you always sang? Blessed be the tie. Anybody know the history of that song? The history of that song, I'm not going to tell the whole story, but it has to do with a young pastor in England that was in a poor church, and a large, affluent church in London invited him to come be the pastor, and he accepted the call. Now, don't get any ideas. He accepted the call, and when the day came for them to leave, everybody showed up from this little church and brought all sorts of potatoes and all of this stuff, and he wrote the song about that experience, and he didn't go to that church. He stayed where he was with those people that loved him. So I want us to sing this, and we're not going to just sing, we always only sing one verse. We're going to sing the whole thing, okay? It's only 2 minutes after 12, you'll survive. So grab a hymnal and turn to 267, Blessed Be the Tie. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comfort and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for your
lover flows, thy sympathetic tear. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again.
William Temple, the Archbishop of Canterbury from 1942 to 1944, said this: "The church is the only society that exists for the benefit of those who are not its members." Echoing what I shared a moment ago. Thought to take with you. Don't forget that. Now, let us pray. Go now, with God's foolishness and weakness as your only wisdom and strength. Proclaim Christ crucified and seek riches only in the love of God's word and in zeal for God's house. And may God's just demands be your nourishment and delight. May Christ be the power and wisdom of God to you. And may the Holy Spirit keep you, thought, word, and deed, in his good grace. And as we depart, may we always remember that we go nowhere by accident. Whenever we go, God is sending us. Wherever we are, God has placed us there for a purpose. Christ, who indwells us, has something he wants to do through us wherever we are. Believe this and go now in his joy, grace, power, with his peace and blessing. Amen. Talk to you.
Okay.
It's good to have you again. God bless you all. God bless you. Snowland.